Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex and Pete.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I am Alex.
I am Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Boothman Pride.
Boothman Pride!
Now, listen, I just wanted to mention, we record the show. We do it live in the city on Tuesdays.
That's right.
But I'm a terrible person. I usually don't put it up until way later than that.
Right.
So, Boothman, your birthday is on Thursday, right?
My birthday is on Thursday.
Hey, oh. Happy almost birthday, Boothman.
Happy birthday. No, we're not doing that?
No. That's
you don't need to do it, guys.
Okay. Well,
I appreciate it, though.
I'll tell you what. If you're listening to the podcast at home and it's Thursday, sing Boothman Prime happy birthday. If it's Friday, tell him to go fuck himself.
Wow, man. That really took a turn.
Well, day after your birthday, it's always a bad day.
Is it?
I don't know.
Okay.
Speaking of bad days, it's been a pretty good week for our friend Justin Tyler.
Yeah,
who
that
is
guy.
Not here at the moment. The reason he's not here is he is... Oh my God, it's a bad day for me because my microphone...
Yeah.
Oh, God.
He's working for the opposition, Jordan Klepper's new
yes,
show.
Yes, exactly.
And he's a writer on the show. Yeah. Oh, look at you guys care. That's amazing. That's very nice.
No, but that's it's very cool that he has decided to go for a high-paying job on Comedy Central instead of our comic book show that he's been doing for 11 fucking years.
Wow, when you say it like that, man, that really...
No, I'm just saying. I mean, I'm glad his priorities are all straight and he's figured out that he needs to be at his fucking big boy television show.
instead of in the sewer with us?
Yes.
Yeah.
Us old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's right.
Well, anyway, he should be running in all willy-nilly at some point, like, oh, la-di-da, I was just hanging out with Trevor Noah and Cartman. Or something.
Wow, man. Yeah, I like how in your mind all the people who work at Comedy Central are just in one building hanging out.
Yeah, man, it's like the CW in 1998.
Wow.
No? Anybody?
Wow.
Yeah.
Dub,
well, that's
WB.
Thank you for blowing up my spot, dude.
Yeah.
Yes, it was the WB then. All right, never mind. Joke rescinded. Guys, I'm very excited about the guest that we have on the show today. He's the author of an upcoming book called Slugfest. Ladies and gentlemen, Reed Tucker!
Yeah, Reed, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. Have a seat.
Please,
have a microphone.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
How are you? Thank you very
Thanks
much.
For coming.
Welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, my God. Pete, you're so far away
Justin.
From me.
What? This works. I feel like I'm Scab Justin.
Yeah, you're Scab Justin. Exactly. As far as Pete is concerned, you are probably better than real Justin.
That's right.
Thank you. After 20 seconds, I appreciate
there we
that.
Go. You did it. All right. Well, let's talk about this book, Slugfest. So,
it's a lot of words, man.
It's a book. Yeah, it's a proper book. It's 200 and some pages.
Ooh, well, so this is really cool. This is something you've been working on for the past year. It's coming out October 3rd stands. And it's all about the big fight between DC and Marvel, which I think is fascinating. It's crazy that this has become a thing. But how did you go from being a newspaper writer to deciding, you know what, this is the book. This is the thing that I want to do.
Man, yeah, it's one of those ideas kind of that seems so obvious that somebody would have done it already, but nobody had done it already. So, I took up the project. But I wrote a previous book it's about college basketball. It's about the rivalry between North Carolina and Duke. So I guess...
Oh, yeah, I can see
that. You know, I'm attuned to rivalries, I guess you could say.
And which is worse, basketball or comics? Just rivalry level-wise.
Is worse as far as the behavior of the fans?
Yep.
Oh, absolutely. Basketball.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Are you surprised?
Wow. Hey, we did it.
We did it.
Yeah, you know, I feel like most comic fans are, you know, some people only read Marvel or only read DC, but most people read both. Whereas, you know, in basketball, there's no way you'd be caught dead in the other person's house.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah, so... I think I'm attuned to rivalries, and I think I'm attuned to rivalries just because I like them as a storyteller because they have conflict built in, so you don't really have to do that much to get people interested in them. They hear the pitch, and it's like, oh, okay, I'm interested in that. So I worked for the New York Post probably for the last 10 years, and
nice,
really the kernel that kind of kicked this whole thing off was when DC was planning to release Batman versus Superman on the same day as Captain America Civil War, and the internet kind of exploded. And, you know, I can remember growing up, I don't know if you guys experienced this, but being on the playground and having those stupid arguments about, you know, Superman could beat up Hulk or all, which is better, Marvel or DC.
When you say stupid...
Right, I mean very important.
Yeah, thank you. Okay,
excuse
I was
going to
say,
that.
Don't
yeah.
please ruin my whole life.
Yeah. No, no, still very important. But
yeah, I mean, being on a comic book talk show for the past 11 years, I can't particularly recall whether we've had discussions about who would win in a fight...
Yeah, that's
repeatedly
basically what we've been
yeah,
doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the concept of the show.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but to me, it was really interesting that that rivalry and those feelings are out there today, but they're sort of just in different forms where people take sides when it comes to the movies and the TV shows. Mm-hmm. Certainly, they still do with the comic books, but now it's more in the realm of movies, at least online.
Well, I should have asked first, were you growing up a DC guy or a Marvel guy?
No, I was neither, you know. I liked both equally, I suppose.
Wow.
Although, I know.
Really? Equally?
Well, I don't know about equally, but...
Who was your favorite superhero growing up, then?
I guess I like Batman.
Okay. Oh, you're a DC cool. guy.
You just, that's just it? Like you're just going to peg me
go.
On that?
Yes, yeah. That's how it works.
I think the when I was growing up, I don't know how old you guys are, but...
We're old.
Okay. But what I think when
Pete's
I was
25, I'm 23. Go
okay,
ahead.
Okay, good. It is radio, so we can
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think when I was about 12, The Dark Knight Returns came out, so that was really the comic book that kind of changed my mind about comic books and really
nice.
Helped me fall in love with them. So, but then you know, I also like Marvel comics as well, and I think I like the Marvel characters better, probably.
Cool. So, how did you go from okay? This news that Captain America 3 and Batman v Superman are coming out the same day to, I'm going to turn this into a book. What was the process like? For those people who haven't necessarily sold a book, haven't necessarily put it together,
no,
how'd you approach it?
Yeah, I mean, I had the idea, and then you just have to go and do a little bit of research on your own to see if there was a story there. And, you know, I started looking back to the 30s, 40s, 50s, especially the 60s and 70s, and there was just a lot of interesting material about the rivalry between the two companies, you know, stealing employees and sending spies to companies and...
Oh, shit, really?
Animosity. Yeah, man, definitely. There was a famous case in, I think, 1971 where there was somebody working in the production department at DC that they thought, you know, because he worked late, was rifling through people's desks after hours and stealing some of the paperwork and stealing the production plans for DC and then giving it to fanzines and eventually to Marvel. So DC, the head of DC at the time, Carmen Infantino, basically launched this, like, World War II-style counter-espionage operation where he printed up a fake memo on DC letterhead and he left it on his desk for the spy to find. You know, the memo said that DC was planning to print these 500-page comics called Blockbuster. Wow. And sure enough, the spy stole it. It leaked out to the fanzines and over to Marvel. And pretty soon, Stan Lee was talking about, you know, hey, True Believers, we're going to do 500-page comics, too.
Wow.
Yeah, it's funny, because if you look back at the fanzines at the time, there are fans writing in letters, you know, a few years later saying, hey, whatever happened to those 500-page comics? I was really interested in those. And they never appeared. So there's all sorts of stuff like that that I find just kind of fascinating.
So Carmen Infantino could have tricked Stan Lee into doing basically anything?
Probably at the
just
time.
Just by leaving a bed note?
Yeah, what would you have liked to have seen him do?
Eat his own hands. I don't know. I don't have a good suggestion.
That was the first thing you thought of.
Yeah, hands. I'm pretty hungry right now. So there you go. Oh, thank you. I think you're going to... fix my mic, maybe. That's very exciting.
You could just take Justin's. He's not using it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there we go. I hope you're enjoying listening to this to this at home, everybody. Okay, hi. Yeah,
there you go.
How's it going?
Sure.
Cool.
Well.
So, okay, so you had the idea for the book. You came through it. Wait, is my mic cutting out?
No.
Okay. You came, decided to tackle the book. How much research versus interviews did you have to do at that point? How much chasing people down did you have to do?
Yeah, I mean, I tried to interview as many people as I possibly could because my idea for the book was basically what I wanted to read, and what I want to read is the stories from the people who were actually there.
Right.
You know, not me kind of waxing philosophical about the rivalry. I wanted to hear their stories and you know, their anecdotes from the past. So I tried to do as many interviews as I could, and... I hope I did enough. I think
Who do you got in there?
a lot of people, like 75 people. I mean, Stan Lee, Neil Adams.
Nice. Matt, that's, Neil Adams is a talker, man. Yeah, once you get Neil Adams going, it is you're along for the ride.
He's also a curser.
Yeah, he curses a lot, yeah.
He's I think the most quotes with F word were from Neil Adams.
The most quotes with F words from Neil Adams. Exactly. It's hilarious. I'm repeating what you said because your mic went out in the middle of that. So
Okay, yeah. We're having some audio troubles. Welcome to live theater.
Hey, it's okay.
So who is the hardest person to get in the book? Who is the hardest person to get the interview for?
That I got in the book or that I didn't get in the book?
Oh, both. Man. Now I want to hear both.
Well, I'm telling you, the one person I really wanted to get was Bill Gemmis, the former president of Marvel around 2000. And he was so interesting because he was one of these people that he came from sports. He worked in the NBA. And to him, rivalries were everything. So when he got that job at Marvel, he publicly stated what he wanted to do was kind of rekindle the feud with DC. And so he set out to really be a thorn in their side. And
wow, that's crazy.
Did all sorts of ridiculous things. I don't know if you guys remember that series called Marvel. Did you ever read that?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe some of the things. Like, it had a synopsis page, and he just took all these pot shots at DC and, like, Paul Levitz and the employees there, just like these really
Paul
low
Levitz,
blows.
Paul Levitz, super nice guy.
Super nice guy, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, he doesn't deserve that. And then Bill Gemmis is like, Paul Levitz is the head of DC Comics, and he's running it into the ground, and that's running in a Marvel comic, and I found that kind of fascinating.
Wow.
But, you know, I called him a couple times, I sent him a couple letters, and I guess he probably wants to put that that time behind him. So he was the one I wish, maybe for the paperback edition.
Who was the hardest one to get that you did get in the book then?
Probably Stan Lee. I mean, he's super busy. Yeah. But he's around, and God bless him. What is he, 94. He's so fit. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's so fit. So I actually caught him at when they had this opening of the Avengers exhibit at Times Square.
Yeah.
So I got a few minutes to talk to him there. So he was probably the most difficult person to track down, but you know, it was really nice to talk to him. I'm glad he's in there with his stories.
Well, did he was he like, "Yeah, fuck DC. I was totally"
A little bit. He
really?
Was. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He doesn't care. He's a multimillionaire.
Sure. I just didn't know if like because from the outside looking in, we don't really see the fighting as much or know how like deep it's ingrained. But when you know, the stuff that you're telling me, it's kind of like, holy shit, this is real. Like from the outside, it's like, oh, I'm sure they hate each other maybe a little, but just to actually hear it, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, but I think what he said was, and I think he still feels this to this day, is that Marvel is superior in that their storytelling and their characters are superior. And what he told me was, you know, DC back then in the 60s when Marvel came up didn't quite understand why Marvel was really gaining on DC.
Right.
And he said to this day, they still don't really understand what Marvel did with its characterization to really separate it from the heroes that DC had who were kind of, you know, wooden and a little bit boring, a little bit godlike, I mean, if you ask me. And so he said that's kind of been their problem for so long, which I agree with. And, you know, one of the examples he gave me was when Jeanette Kahn came in the 70s as the new head of DC, she decided she was going to change their name because back then, you know, everyone knows they were called National Comics, which is kind of boring. You know, it sounds like sort of the organization that's like a James Bond villain, National Publications. So what she decided she was going to change it to was basically DC Comics, the nickname that it had for many years. And Stan Lee said, you know, that's kind of why Marvel has been beating them. You know, they don't really have any imagination.
Oh man, shots fired.
Shots fired for real.
Yeah.
So given the historical context of this, how much have things changed over the years? How much have they changed from where they started with Stan Lee versus Carmine Infantino to now?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because it goes through, it's very cyclical. It goes through sort of ebbs and flows about the hatred. It just depends on mostly who's in charge, I think as somebody says in the book. But you know, when the people at the top of the companies get along, things are a little more hunky-dory. But when they don't get along, it gets a little rougher. And there have been certain times, certainly the Carmine Infantino era was one where it was a little bit rougher. Bill Gemmis, that was probably the roughest era between the companies. But now, I think publishing is such a small part of what these people do compared to the amount of money that's in merchandising and films that I think it's the rivalry has just moved to a different arena, and that arena is film. And, you know, now, obviously, both of these companies are owned by these giant multinational companies, Disney and Warner Brothers, and, you know, they don't like each other. They're competing in this movie space. And so I think that's kind of where the rivalry has moved, where publishing is you know, pretty a small part of it.
Now, when you brought up what you were doing to some people, did that turn people off? Like, oh, man, fuck you. I don't want to talk about this. Or were people pretty open to it?
Yeah, most people were pretty open. I found they were more open if they didn't work in the business anymore.
Right, yeah.
You know, and people who work at the studios now probably don't really necessarily want to discuss it.
Sure.
But yeah. It's definitely there, the rivalry, for sure.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
What's next? What's the next fight book that you're going to do?
Yeah.
I was thinking about that. I need a rivalry trilogy. Got any?
Burger King versus McDonald's, something
Ooh,
like
I
that.
I like that. The fast food rivalry. Yeah. Okay, let's do it.
I mean, we all know in the future Taco Bell wins, but right now it's still a real battle.
Yeah, the burger rivalry. I like it.
You can call it three seashells. That's good, right?
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Slugfest available October 3rd. Bookstores everywhere.
Yeah, that's right.
And Amazon.com.
Amazon, sure.
Yeah, sorry, didn't mean to cut you off there.
No,
some
it's okay.
Lucky audience members are going to get a copy today.
There you
go.
All right. Okay, guys, we're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call The Stack.
Yeah.
And in The Stack, we're going to talk about a couple of books that came out this week and go to bat for them. Pete, let's kick off with one of your picks, Black Hammer, number 13, from Dark Horse Comics.
Yeah, one person is on the same page.
Well, I don't know that you were on the same page for a while, right? Have you been reading this since the beginning?
No.
That's what I meant, and then you said what?
Sure, fine. Make fun of me for that.
I'm not making fun
of you. I'm on now. I'm all in now.
Talk about the book.
What I really liked about this book, the art is fantastic, really sets up this great world, but also has a nice pace where even though it's kind of in the middle of things, it's still kind of like laying things out for us to understand. So if anybody's trying to jump on board like I was with this issue, this is a great issue to jump in. You can kind of get caught up to speed a little bit. I mean, obviously there's stuff that came before this, but this issue kind of sets up this huge event. I mean, you do a better job explaining it because when I try to, I get too excited and then focus on the wrong details. But
Listen, so far I think you did a very good job of explaining that at the 13th issue, there are issues that came before it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that compliment.
No
fucking dick. there's this big event happening.
Can I give a little description of the
book? Yeah, please do.
Sure. So it's about a team of superheroes, kind of like a riff on the Justice League, though not exactly, who something happened in their past. We don't know what happened, but they left and went to the countryside forever. And they're all very broken and very sad. Yep. And that's essentially what we followed for 12 issues. There's been this underlying mystery of what happened to them and why they headed out and why they retreated. And we're finally about to get those answers, except for this issue ends, say, teasing, that's going to happen a couple of months down the road because we're going to take a break. But this comic is gorgeous. It is completely unique and completely interesting, and I love it very much. Pete.
Yeah, I definitely agree. There's this event, and they have no choice but go to these kind of like retired superheroes who are out of the game in such a huge fashion that like when they're like, hey, we need you, it's kind of like, what? Really? Us? It's going to be cool to see what happens and if these guys can get their shit together to actually put up a fight.
Yeah, we'll see. Have you ever checked out this book before? Are you a fan of Jeff Lemire at all?
I'm a huge fan of Jeff Lemire.
Nice.
But I also wonder, how many titles does this guy write a month? This guy,
right?
Remember that Bradley Cooper movie where he took the pill and he was like super smart? I feel like
Jeff Lemire's on a bunch of crazy drugs?
Look, I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, the movie
you heard it here first. This guy said Jeff Lemire is a crazy drug head.
Yeah, right. Okay,
like
please.
In that movie, The Hangover.
I don't think that's what he's talking
about. I'm sure that's
what
he was talking about.
No, but I like everything I've ever read by him, I really like. No, but I have to check this out. I should.
You should.
Like,
oh, yeah. It's great.
Should.
It's limitless. So, all right, let's move
limitless.
On.
Thank
to,
you.
Yes. All right, let's move on to the next pick. Batman, The Red Death from DC Comics.
Yeah, don't
one,
clap.
One
don't,
clap. Okay,
don't clap.
There
no,
we go.
Don't clap.
So,
don't clap.
Pete's very upset about this book.
Yes, I am very upset about this
book.
Can
I talk about it for a second?
Oh, fine, fine. You talk first.
Sure, I just want to give a little setup, and then you can go whatever crazy rant you're going to go into. So this is part of DC Comics currently relating Dark Knight's Metal event, and the idea of that...
Why did you pick this?
I haven't even described the plot yet, Pete.
Yeah, I know. Why?
I like this event. I think it's a lot of fun.
But why are we reading? Why are we talking about
this
book?
Can I finish talking about the plot?
Sure.
All right. This is such a contentious show, Pete. My goodness. Okay. So in Dark Knight Metal, they have discovered an underworld, an opposite multiverse, a dark multiverse that is populated by all of these horrible alternate universes and dark Batman that are basically like the Justice League from these alternate multiverses. Alternate universes have invaded our DC universe while Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman have disappeared. I thought this was really cool. I think this provides a lot more explanation where the main Metal series has been bananas, Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo going balls to the wall with the plot and just throwing everything out here. Here we take a step back and we get a real sense of what is going on with the dark multiverse. And there's a bit in there. Can I borrow it for a second?
Sure.
There's a bit in there where they really actually explain the idea of what it is. I think it's in this one, right? That it's basically stories that should not have been told.
Yeah, it's like the first page.
Yeah.
You know you're about to read a great comic when they try to explain why they made this comic in the first page. Like, okay, what you're about to witness is a collision of horrible ideas that shouldn't exist but do. Welcome to the dark multiverse. A collection of shitty ideas that we're hoping if we... cram enough shitty ideas, it turns into one good idea, which is why we made this comic book. And the answer is no. It's still not.
What was the question?
Is it a good idea to collect a bunch of shitty ideas?
Okay.
Because this comic is basically, you like Batman? He's shittier. Now do you like him? No? Well, guess what?
Okay.
There's a shittier Flash in there, too. So... buckle up. What? You don't like that? Well, guess what? Superman, also shitty. Like, what are we doing?
Batman.
Why are we talking about this comic? This is shitty.
Did you ever read the Elseworlds books?
Nope.
So Elseworlds was a lot like this, where it was stories about, like, a vampire Batman or Superman that fell into Russia in the middle of the Cold War instead of America. And it was these very dark alternate takes on the DC Universe,
right,
which was really cool and really interesting. And here, they're throwing in a bunch of those ideas in different ways, which I think is a lot of fun. Like, here you get a Batman who just cannot deal with the idea that his parents are dead and that
Alfred
is dead.
That's our Batman. What the fuck are you talking about? Batman, he literally put on a fucking cape and cowl because he can't deal with his parents'
No,
death.
I know, but...
but, like, this is same thing, but shittier. He is meaner and doesn't give more fucks than before. You thought this our Batman was a dick? Wait till you see this Batman.
Yeah,
he's more of a dick than you could have ever imagined.
He ties Flash...
Freeze's gun and wears Freeze's shades for no reason. He can't even talk with them on. He has to put them up because they're so dumb. It is... what the fuck is this? This is just a really shitty Batman making shitty decisions that no Batman, I don't care what world he's from, would ever make. That's not Batman. That's just some shitty dude.
If somebody... killed your parents.
Oh, wow.
And I had super speed, and you knew if you chained me to the hood of your car and drove real fast, you could save
that
your parents.
That doesn't make any sense.
I'm just saying.
I'm going to chain you to the front of my car? Really, Batman? That's your move?
I'm sorry.
That's your high tech? That
doesn't make any sense, but the dude who got struck by lightning and can now run super fast makes sense?
We all bought in on that a long time ago. Don't bring that up. All right? So... Yeah, okay, I get it. Like, there's a guy who can time travel. I could time travel and save my parents. Okay, fine. But he is such a dick. There's nothing. You have to have some kind of redeeming quality to get into a book to be like, oh, I like this because of this.
But
there's
okay.
none of that.
he decides, he says here, with each day, I feel myself getting older and slower. I need the Speed Force. So he decides, I'm going to take the Speed Force,
yeah, I'll just
and I'm going to take care of all crime in Gotham. And he keeps going and going and pushing it and pushing it until he's killed all of his enemies, his world is falling apart, and then he takes the same philosophy to Central City on our Earth. I think that's cool. I think it's a neat way of understanding these crazy, over-the-top villains. Like, the villains in this book are Justice League Batman, which is ludicrous, but to come up with a reasonable, good story for them is really neat.
What you described was neither reasonable nor good. All right.
Did you check this out? Do you have any opinion on this read?
I don't, but you guys sound really divided on this. I don't know.
If you want to write your next book about me and Pete.
I was going to say, yeah, okay. Rivalries are born in this room.
I'm sorry, I don't do interviews, no. But thank you very much. all right. Let's talk about something I think we can agree on. A Totally Awesome Hulk, number 23.
Yeah.
From Marvel Comics. You want to talk about this, Pete?
Well, I was hoping you could help me with this. Now, Greg Pak, we all know, is an amazing writer.
Yeah, he's great.
He's...
your beard buddies.
Yeah, we're fantastic individual, amazing writer. I'm very happy he's back in the Hulk. So, Amadeus Cho is now the Hulk, right?
Yep.
Who is in the trunk, then?
Do you want to give some context for that?
What?
Do you want to give some context for that? Oh, I guess you can't give context for that.
Right. I love Pac. I love the Hulk. I'm just having a little bit of a hard time understanding what's happening.
So here, okay, so have you been reading this book the
yes.
entire time?
Yeah. So there's a Hulk in the trunk, but it's not the Hulk.
Here's what
I'm
getting.
We thought it was the original Hulk, but that's not true.
Here's what I'm getting.
Okay.
I am getting that when it comes to comic books, you have a problem with plot points that involve cars.
Not true. Ghost Rider is a phenomenal comic.
Okay. All right. So the idea of this, which they've been looping in all along, Amadeus Cho cured Bruce Banner.
Right.
And then took over the Hulk and was like, I can be a totally awesome Hulk.
Right. We got that.
But very first issue, they've been flashing into his kind of his mindscape where you've been seeing something is in the trunk of his car.
Right.
And what we've realized over time is that even though Amadeus Cho is great at the Hulk, what happens in this book is he confronts all of his friends and he says, listen, I think, even though I think I have this under control, I don't, because nobody can control a Hulk.
Is the trunk a metaphor for something that I'm missing?
Have you've read comic books where, like, they go into somebody's mindscape before, right?
Yes, yeah.
Or you've seen
movies?
Movies.
Yeah,
like, literally
yeah, television,
movie.
Yeah.
Have you seen...
I get that. I just wasn't
like
sure...
The Hangover, like in The Hangover.
Oh, my God. I just wasn't sure if there was something that I was missing here, and
no.
I was hoping you could help me understand it.
No. The Hulk is in the trunk because metaphorically he has kept it bottled up, and the Hulk is coming out and is saying, you will always be a Hulk. You will always be angry. I don't care how smart you are, Amadeus. You're going to give over to me, and you're going to destroy everything you ever love.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what's going on.
But if he's the Hulk, who is in the trunk?
The Hulk.
But not really, because he's the Hulk.
So do you ever feel like
that thinks the Hulk is in the trunk? He's not actually talking. So if we're seeing it from the point of view of the people standing outside of the car,
yeah,
they're just watching the Hulk have a conversation with an imaginary Hulk.
Well, they're also in his mind.
Oh. He invited them in that nice dinner he prepared, he invited them all into his mind?
Yeah, they explain that in the comic book.
Oh. Thanks for helping me with this. This was a great talking point. I really
appreciate
this.
Yeah, no problem. This
was
a great
It's cool that when I come to you like, hey, I was hoping you could help me understand something, you're like, sure. I won't be a dick about it.
You're very welcome, Pete, anytime.
Yeah.
Are you a Hulk fan, Reed?
I'm a Hulk fan, yeah. But
yeah.
I was flipping through this before the show, and I don't want to spoil anything, but you guys see the ending here?
We did see the... I think we could spoil the ending.
Yeah?
We could talk about
sure?
the ending. Yeah.
Okay.
Are you a Planet Hulk fan?
I'm not. I mean, you know, I guess I am, yes. But it's interesting that that's happening right before the Thor movie
yep.
comes out, right? So
yeah,
you think it's sort of
coincidence.
A little bit of corporate synergy there?
Just maybe a little bit. Touch.
Yeah.
So Amadeus Cho, and they even make a joke about it at the end, is Black Panther shoots him into space. And I believe it's
horrible.
Ms. Marvel is like...
Horrible
Why
idea.
Are you doing this?
Yeah, this is, I'm agreeing with her. This is a very dumb idea.
Yeah.
because it doesn't end well, why are we doing this again?
There's going to be a riff on it. I mean, I trust Greg enough to not be like, I'm going to repeat the same story. And Amadeus Cho is a different character than Bruce Banner and the Hulk. So it's going to play out differently.
Right. But it's also tough because as a Hulk fan and a Planet Hulk fan, I'm like, oh, Greg, oh, don't do this because Planet Hulk was so amazing. I don't want to ruin that legacy that you have with this. Also, like, why would the greatest minds in the world think it's a good idea to repeat a mistake that they made?
The way that they're looking
because
at
when
it.
The Hulk came back, he fucked everything up. He was so angry, he couldn't stay in the ship waiting to get to Earth. He stood on the nose of the ship. It was just fucking raged the whole flight in. Like, that was amazing. Like, you can't do that again. You can't.
No, you can't do that again. He's going to do it differently. It's going to be a riff on it. It's going to be something different, but I think it'll still be fun.
All right. All right. You're right. I should trust in Pac.
Yes. Okay. You guys are beard buddies, remember. Just like Zach Galifianakis in The Hangover.
Stop.
And that's it for the stack. If I can't bring up my favorite movie of all time.
It's
being,
not your favorite movie of
no,
all time.
No, but do you know what my favorite section is? Audience questions. And we're going to go out to you guys. Oh, all right, guys. For this, all you have to do is ask a question. You're going to get us some free stuff. What do we have for them today, Pete? What prizes?
Oh, man, we've got a lot of great prizes.
Yes,
I'm
we
so
do.
Glad you asked.
Thanks.
Normally, you're just a complete douche about it.
No.
So we do have... three copies of Slugfest. We also have...
Four, Pete. One on the arm right there.
Oh, I didn't know if you were
going to put
that. Oh, well, then all four questions get Slugfest. But there's also an option for a Game of Thrones toy in question marks here, or in quotes, toy.
Yeah, it's some Funko Pops from San Diego Comic-Con, so they're exclusives that are going to you.
Yeah, so if you're into that Game of Thrones thing, maybe you'll be into some of these.
Cool, make people feel worse about it, Pete.
Make people feel worse about what, liking Game of Thrones? That's their issue. If they like it, that's cool. They can like what
Christ.
They want.
I'm just saying it's an incredible show. So,
well, if
just
you're into incest
at some point.
And like weird shit, then yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we all are.
We're
yes,
not
Pete.
All into
yes,
that.
Yes, everybody's
don't
into
blanket
that.
Blanket statement shit.
That's
like
one
that.
Of the most popular things in the world.
Great.
Everybody agrees.
You
Jesus.
Have
all right,
sex
let's
with
go.
Your brother. I don't care.
I, dude.
What?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Finally, Jesus Christ, thank you for giving me permission.
No problem, man, if that's all you want.
No, I appreciate it. Like, I just want
your blessing.
You don't
need a show. You know
I'm just
I mean? Like,
saying, like, I've been running this long con of a show to get you, trick you into giving me permission to do this god-awful thing. So thank you for giving me permission, because now I'm going to go have sex with my brother. What's your question,
questions.
You, sir? Come on up. Don't ask any questions about what just happened.
I won't. This is for Reed.
Nice.
In Slugfest, clearly it's mostly about the fights and the rivalry between DC and Marvel. Do you ever go into any stuff about their various collaborations, the Superman, Spider-Man, the Amalgam
Secret
Comics?
Wars.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole chapter about the collaborations, starting with the Superman versus Spider-Man in the 70s, but also, you know, through the early 80s when things started to fall apart with the fabled Justice League Avengers team up that did not happen for years and years
oh,
and
man.
Years. Yeah, I found that was really interesting. So yeah, there's tons of information about that. I interviewed David Opes, who is the agent who originally put the first team up together, because you know he was a book agent and he called up Stan Lee because he was a comic book fan when he was a young child, and he pitched to Stan Lee in the 70s. You know, he said, Marvel is pretty popular now, but I think it could be something that's, you know, a lot more. And instead of movies or TV, what he thought that a lot more could be was actually, you know, books as we know them. So he tried to get Stan Lee to move into that arena. But in that process, you know, they got together with DC and they produced that first Superman versus Spider-Man comic book.
Great question, man.
Yeah,
all right, very cool. What is he getting as prizes?
Yeah, would you like your prizes with or without Game of Thrones stuff?
What the fuck, Pete? Just give them the Game of Thrones stuff.
There's only three. He's got to. If he doesn't want it, I don't want to give it to him.
I'll take the Game of Thrones.
All right, there you go.
Everybody wants it. It's the most popular show on the planet. Pete, yes, it is. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't bring any NCIS swag this week.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if you want to go with the most popular show on the planet, next question, please. You, sir, right there.
Why do you care what the most popular thing is all the fucking time?
I just want to be loved
yeah.
by shows, my brother, whoever.
My name is Hezekiah. I'm a 17-year-old girl.
What has happened? It's gone off the rails.
Call back to your earlier.
Yeah, that was great. Great voiceover work.
So, my question, going on the theme of rivalries, some of your favorite titles about rivalries.
Ooh.
Favorite titles about rivalries. Pete, do you have any answers there?
With or without Game of Thrones, sir?
Okay. With Game of Thrones. Everybody's going to do it. Jesus, Pete. What? You've never seen it either? This is crazy. We're going to cancel the show next week and just show everybody Game of Thrones. I can't believe we're saying that. Reed, do you have a favorite rivalry book?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I mean, I mentioned it before, but I have to go with Marvel. I mean, to me, the book only exists just to poke DC in the eye. It was just like a total cheap shot at DC with lots of gags about AOL and Ted Turner and people who worked at DC. It only exists to basically troll them. So I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but it's to me, it's the most interesting one. Yeah. You've ever read it?
Yes.
Did
I
you?
I remember very distinctly reading Narvel when I was younger, and I was like, I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
No.
I feel like I read the first issue or two and hated it so much I stopped reading it. But it was not good.
No. Fair enough.
Pete, what about you?
I would say for DC, my favorite rivalry is Batman Joker.
Any book in particular?
Well, I was just thinking in general, like, what are my favorite people to see to kind of go up against each other. I always thought that Wolverine Sabretooth were also my favorite, because especially lately with Weapon X, where they've had to team up, and I've enjoyed that because they hate each other, but yet they're still working together, which I enjoy.
I'm going to say Punisher versus Archie.
Classic
team. What? Pete, you read Punisher versus Archie, right?
Yeah.
It's great. Close second, Predator versus Archie, which is also
No, that's
pretty.
Better.
That's better?
Yes.
Hold on. Did you just say something is better than a Punisher book?
Well, damn it, you fucking asshole. I just think that having that Jughead's head in the vending machine with the spinal cord kind of hanging down was such an amazing moment in comics.
That was an amazing moment in comics.
Yeah.
I'm going to agree with you there. Both of those are great. Great question. Let's get another question. You, sir, come on up. All right. Or come on down, I guess. Okay. First question for you. Do you actually watch Game of Thrones?
No, sir.
Yeah.
What is wrong? What is going on in this audience? Jesus Christ, you guys. It is seriously, next to NCIS, the most popular show on the planet. I'm just saying.
Why say NCIS?
I'm just saying, if you're
Who
asking me to be factual.
NCIS?
Yes, it's the most popular show on the planet. Dude,
why Puck Alpha Flight. I mean, come on.
Pablo, what's your question, my man?
All right. I will let the Cedars rivalry go down as in a biopic. So that's not the question. But the question is, what rivalries do you want to see happen?
Okay.
Like coming up, like new rivalries?
Any rivalry.
All right. I don't know. Pete, do you have any answers?
So did you want it without Game of Thrones? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, God. You're enjoying this too much, Pete, and I hate it so much. Reed, is there a, let's say, comic book rivalry you would want to see that hasn't been done yet?
Ooh, that hasn't been done yet? I was going to say, I would hope that DC and Marvel would collaborate again and produce one of those sort of team-up versus books that they did back, but I don't think it's ever going to happen again. But I would
love.
Yeah,
that's sad. It would be amazing.
Yeah, it would be amazing. So I would love to see one of those just nowadays to see how they would handle it, which characters they would put in there, who would write it and draw it, all those things. It might be, instead of the Avengers, it might be Ms. Marvel and some of the younger characters.
Yeah, I mean, to see, like, Ms. Marvel versus Batgirl or something
exactly.
like that would be super fun.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Oh, well. Pete, what about you?
I don't know. I kind of agree with him. I mean, it's just one of those things where great rivalries are so much fun. Yeah, and it's also really fun to see, like, it really points to the person's makeup, you know, like, who they really are when they're kind of put against kind of their rival, and it's fun to kind of see how people deal with that. But, yeah, I don't know. I feel like DC versus Marvel, I don't know if it would even be possible, but, man, it would be so fun.
I'm going to throw one out to you based on previous answers, and I don't know if they've ever done this, and if they have never done this, why they haven't. Punisher versus Predator.
Oh, wow.
That'd be pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Kind two hunters.
Melted my mind.
Yeah, in Vietnam.
What?
Uh-huh.
No way Predator wins that. There's no way.
No. Also, Predator's like, I'm very conflicted about this conflict. All right, I think... do we have one more question? Any more questions? No?
Nope.
Nothing? Okay. That's it for your audience questions.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yes.
And in the Week in Geek, we start to lose hope that Justin is ever going to show up at the show. And we also talk about things that happen elsewhere in the world of the geek. So first one, we were just mentioning this guy. This is a character from Marvel Comics called The Punisher. He has a TV show coming out. Pete, they released a trailer. How are you feeling about that?
I have watched the trailer so many times. It's borderline sad. I'm also got in trouble at work for watching it too much.
Really?
Yeah.
You've almost lost your job over a Punisher trailer.
Yes, but... it's worth it. I've also watched it. I've watched it without sound, just with the sound, not watching it, just hearing it. And it is, I think, one of the greatest trailers I've ever seen in my life. Like, the Metallica drums match up to the bullet noises. It's phenomenal. Whoever edited that thing should be just given, like, a ton of money. It was just... I mean, so perfectly well done. I can't stop watching it. It's the first thing I watch when I wake up, and my alarm goes off. I hit it. I hit play on the trailer, and it's the last thing I watch before I go to bed.
Why isn't your alarm the Punisher trailer?
Can you do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you do that? I want to do that.
Yeah, just rip the audio, put it on your phone,
rip
make it your ringtone.
Okay, yeah. I thought maybe it was like I could. Time you, I don't know.
Sure. I mean, I'm sure you could figure out some way to do that. I'm sure some idiot has come up with something like that.
Wait, if Justin's not in here, I'm going to drink his beer.
Whoa. All right.
Sure.
Yeah, he'll show up any second. His beer sense will go off. Reed,
maybe
are
if
you
I crack
a
it.
Punisher fan? Or have you watched the Marvel Netflix shows at all?
Yeah, I've watched some of them, but I'm a little bit behind. They keep putting them out.
They do.
They're like, it's like the Tribbles of television, where they just keep multiplying so much.
What have you seen? What do you like?
I really like Jessica Jones. I think that was my favorite one. I watched the first season of Daredevil, which I thought was really good. I haven't watched Luke Cage, and I haven't watched The Defenders.
Pete, how many times have you watched Luke Cage?
I don't know, over 30 at this point.
What?
The entire not the entire season.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He watched just the third first episode. Season. He watched the first season 3 times in the first weekend.
Man, it's that good, huh?
It's really good.
All right, what about Iron Fist? Because everyone
don't
hates
you dare.
On that.
You won't get that those hours back in your life.
All right, what I thought. All right. I watched the first episode of that, and I was like, nah, I'm done.
Yeah. Have you seen Defenders?
I have not. I watched the first maybe 20 minutes of the first
episode.
Here's
what I'd recommend.
Okay.
Read the Wikipedia entry for Iron Fist, because the plot is important for what happens in Defenders.
No, it's not.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it is. It feeds pretty directly into the plot of Defenders.
You can pick right up on it just watching Defenders.
You can also pick right up on it.
Okay. I was hopeful, because I think Defenders is only 8 episodes, right? Whereas the other ones are 13.
Right. But, dude.
Yeah.
You got to watch Luke Cage.
Okay, I will. I promise.
Yeah,
it's on my Netflix queue.
And one of the best things about Daredevil season 2 was Jon Bernthal as the Punisher. He's in the first half of the season mostly, and it's great.
Yeah, I thought we were just going to get... Remember when I was like, I stopped watching it because I thought the Punisher wasn't coming back?
Yep.
And you were like, you dumb piece of shit. You got to keep watching.
Yeah, what did you think? You thought like episode 6 was the last episode or something?
For the Punisher, yeah.
Yeah.
So I stopped watching.
Yeah.
I was like, it's not going to get any better than this. You know, the Punisher is no longer...
It's not the structure of television. I'm still mad at you about that. yeah, I thought the... I don't know that I'm going to watch the trailer every time when I wake up. And I definitely like... That is a hardcore for Punisher fans trailer because, yeah. You know...
I mean, I wanted to riot in the streets immediately after watching it. It's you get so fucking pumped. Yeah, it's crazy.
At the risk of you murdering me, but I think you know this... I'm not the biggest Punisher fan in the world.
Right, right.
And I really like a lot of the runs. I think they're well written. I did like Jon Bernthal in the second season of Daredevil. The trailer didn't totally do it for me because it was very... Exactly everything you liked about the trailer, I was like, this isn't for me.
What? I mean, as someone who's worked in like television, you can't even appreciate... The overlay of music with the cuts and the editing? I mean, the editing is...
It just struck me as like, isn't this cool? The Punisher's so cool. He's going to kill some people. He's going to eat their brains, whatever. I don't know what he does.
So your main problem with it was cool? And you were like, oh, man, cool things bother me.
No, it was like cool, like a guy who pops his collar cool. Where right. It's like, aren't I cool?
Okay.
Like, it's winking. Like, there are things... Like, Luke Cage was cool, and the trailers for Luke Cage were really cool.
Right.
But they weren't, like, winking at you and being like, I'm really cool.
Punisher, so, wait, having music linked up with it makes it winking?
No, it's the choice of music, and it just feels, like, very dude to me.
It's very dude. Yeah, you're right. I mean, the Punisher is a guy... who shoots people and has guns and wears a skull on his chest. Yeah, it's very dude. Yeah, it's
that's what
not,
I'm saying.
Like, he's not really in touch with his emotions.
All right, let's move on real quick. Gotham came back.
Yes.
Gotham is back. I really enjoyed the season premiere a lot. I thought it was a lot of fun. How'd you feel about it?
I'm really having a hard time getting past the fact that you were just like... Punisher's too much dude for me to handle. I can't. It's too cool for me to get into. Oh, man. You don't like Metallica? You've never thought, like, hey, Metallica's great.
Nah, I don't know. That whole Napster thing, I can't get over that.
Wow. I mean...
Sorry, most of our audience is 12 years old, so they don't remember that.
You got upset? All right. Anyways. Wow, this is a lot to move on from. So first, new season of Gotham. Now, I was a little upset with how they're approaching Batman in Gotham. And it was like, I feel like it's too soon for him to be running around fighting crime in the streets. Like,
sure.
He hasn't
trained anywhere. Well, he has, like, what, maybe 3 or 4 inches to go before he actually becomes Batman? Like, that was one of my problems is...
He's too short? That's what your problem is?
No, that, like, I like David Mazouz a lot. He's really grown on me over the course of the seasons. But him throwing on a bat suit and being like, a Batman, is he's still like, I'm a Batman!
Right.
So he's not enough of a dude.
Okay, but the thing is... He's not trained at all. Like, Alfred's a badass in the show.
But he did train. He trained at the end of last season with Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, but not for long or not, like,
I don't know. It doesn't
real.
Take that much.
What? Dude, Batman was... He left Gotham for a long time to train. Like, threw himself into all these crazy things to make his mind and body sharp
enough.
I
totally agree. But I do appreciate the fact that they're like, fuck it. We're probably not getting to season 10. He's not going to grow tall enough ever. Let's just go for this. Let's just do this. We can't send him away for a training sequence.
So you think Gotham, in all of its wisdom, was like, fuck it.
Yes. 100%. But in the best way, where I think they were like, fuck it. We're never going to get there, so let's just cut to the chase.
Okay, well, all right. I don't think we'll see eye to eye on this. But that aside, man, I love everything else they're doing. And what's his name is hysterical. The killer Zaz had all these amazing, hilarious lines.
Yeah, it's Gotham. Do you watch Gotham?
No, just because I never warmed to the premise, which is like, it's Batman without Batman. But I guess now they're introducing
now it's Batman.
Yeah, exactly.
So there you
right,
go.
I know. So
hop on board.
Hey, there you go.
One of the things that it doesn't get enough credit for is it's actually a pretty funny show a lot of the times. So, I don't know. It's good. Last thing to talk about before we move on in Week in Geek, The Gifted is going to be hitting screen soon. Are you excited for this one, Pete?
No, I'm not.
What?
Yeah.
Why not? Where would you rate it on the dude scale? Like, too much dude, too little dude? What would you say?
I don't know, man. I haven't seen any of the trailers that got me excited. I haven't, like, heard any good news yet. Let me give
you the good news.
Yeah,
Pete.
Sell me on it.
Actually, I don't know if I'm totally going to sell you on it, but I have seen the first episode of the show, and
what's it like?
It's mixed, basically, is what I'd say. Is that there's two things going on. On one side, you got this mutant underground that is shuffling mutants out of the United States. The X-Men and the Brotherhood are gone. Nobody knows what's happened to them. Sentinel Services is tracking down mutants and locking them up.
No shit, there's Sentinels in this?
Sentinel Services.
Oh, fuck you.
Yeah. So, so you have a bunch of mutants working for this mutant underground, and then you have the Strucker family who finds out that two of their kids are mutants and then have to go on the run and hook up with the mutant underground. And the mutant underground stuff is, like, fine. It feels very old sci-fi channels, cheesy powers, doing like, hey, we look cool in our leather jackets and our pop collars. Aren't we cool, et cetera, et cetera.
Dude, you are but hung up on pop collars,
I
bro.
I do not like them, and those people used to beat me up. And the on the other side, though, you have the family who's running away, and that's kind of great. Like, there's still some very cheesy dialogue in it, but the emotion there is good, and the metaphors are really good.
What would you compare it to as far as other TV shows? Or is it got
it's like Game of Thrones.
Oh, fuck. Well, I'm not watching it now.
No, I don't know. I don't know necessarily what I'd compare it to. It's very, like, it feels like an X-Men comic book a lot of the time, which I think is a good thing. Like I said, it's very mixed, but there's a lot of promise in the pilot, so enough that I would want to watch the second episode.
You're in.
Yeah, the action in particular is super tense, was my favorite part. So there we go.
Oh, cool.
All right. Well,
now you sold me.
Yeah. Yes, I did it. We're going to move to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right. Yeah, this is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free dollars. Oh, we got first hand up guy. We're going to do this a little differently today. So, have you seen the Punisher trailer?
I have.
Okay, good. You win $25.
Whoa, Pete. Whoa, ho, ho, ho.
$25.
No. Hey, Pete, what are you doing? No. Hold on. Pablo. No, come back here. Come up here, Pablo.
No, don't you take come his up money. Here, Pablo. That's his $25.
I'm not taking his money. You give me your microphone, Pete.
No.
Give me your microphone. I'm going to take this other microphone. Here's the thing. Did you not write trivia, Pete?
What?
Did you not do trivia?
I did trivia.
What? That was not trivia.
That's exactly
every week you're supposed to do trivia.
Right. He got the question right.
Oh,
that's how trivia works.
I knew this was going to happen. All right, come up here, Pablo. Come here. Take this mic. Give me back that. Give me back that gift card. We're going to do some trivia with you right now because Pete didn't fucking do trivia one week.
What?
Which I don't get. All right. So here we go. Okay, your first question. Can we get the music, please?
There's music.
All right, here we go.
It's been a while.
All right, why didn't Pete do trivia? A, because there wasn't enough time. B, because there was enough time, but he decided there wasn't based on literally nothing. Or C, because time is a flat circle. Okay, so it's probably not A, let's be honest. So maybe B?
It's B.
Okay, it's B. Correct answer is B. There we go. All right, next question. Wait, how much time did he have to write trivia? A, half an hour. B, honestly, like a week if we count that he knew the show was happening for literally an entire week. Or C, Pete keeps getting older, but trivia stays the same age.
Oh my C, pick C.
It's not C.
It's totally C.
He had an entire week to plan this, so he didn't run out of time. Okay, I'll give that one to you. All right, last one. So what? He just decided not to do it? What? All right, A, yeah, man, I saw him sit there and talk about the Punisher for like 20 minutes instead. B, doesn't he know we do a comic book talk show every week? Or C, all right. Which one is it?
Matthew McConaughey for sure.
All right.
Yeah. Again, you're wrong. We do a comic book talk show every week. Here is your gift card.
That you
enjoy.
Already have that you took away from him.
I took it away from him because you cheated the system, Pete.
I didn't cheat the system.
You have one job every week.
Oh, that's it? That's all I have is one job?
Yes, just one job.
Oh, man. I've been going above and beyond for 11 years then.
I think so. Guys, as we all know.
I can't wait for next week because I'm not going to do anything but trivia next week because that's my only job.
Yeah, so when we ask questions about comic books, you get multiple choice answers.
I didn't read comics. I don't. Yeah, I don't watch comic book TV shows. I just do trivia.
Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, assuming that you still do read comic books by then, what are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to Venomverse. It's been an amazing ride. And the last issue with Carnage was phenomenal.
Cool. I'm looking forward to Marvel Legacy number one is coming out tomorrow. This is Marvel's version, getting back to the Slugfest thing, of Rebirth, where they're not rebooting the universe, but recentering the universe. And I'm really curious to see how they do it. I think it'll be, hopefully, we've heard, very cool. Reed, what are you looking forward to?
Yeah, the thing I had my eye on was Sex Criminals Volume 4, which really
loves that.
I love this series, and I have to pick it up at Midtown Comics because I feel like it's one of those things when you buy it on Amazon, it sort of changes the algorithm for preferences when you buy something called Sex Criminals.
Yeah, it does.
You know what I'm talking about? But I love this series, and I think it's such a weird premise, too, you know. Time stops. This woman has the power to stop time when she has sex.
Yeah, it's great.
But they make it work.
And plug your stuff again. What should people check out?
Check out Slugfest. The book comes out October 3rd. You can buy it at bookstores or online or anywhere. I have a website. It's reedtucker.net. Sorry, .com was taken to my eternal shame. So I had to buy .net.
That's all right.
Like it. So you're very apologetic about that.
Yeah. It's cool. It's on the internet. Everybody can figure it out.
It's there. So that's it.
All right. Very cool. A couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, Abraham Riesman from New York Magazine and Vulture will be here, one of our favorite guests to be on the show. Hopefully he'll help preview New York Comic Con. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Also, the show is free to come see and free to listen to, but it does cost us a little bit of money to do. So if you'd like to throw some money in the hat over there or patreon.com/comicbookclub, we'll do thank yous in the show, send you some prizes, etc. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Check us out on Twitter at Comic Book Live, our website comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people you want to thank before we go. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tom Radar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan. We want to thank Reed for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
I want to thank Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime. Happy almost birthday.
Happy birthday. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here at the Pit Loft every single Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Kenny Kords. Nothing.